by, you can open your Bibles to Matthew 6 this morning. We're continuing on in a series of sermons called Life Hacks. A life hack is something that is effective for your life. It's at your disposal. You can utilize something that perhaps you don't utilize very often or didn't know you could utilize and be able to apply it to your life in a very helpful or practical way. And last week, if you were here with us, we considered and focused on the reality, the beauty, that there is a God and He speaks. One of life's greatest hacks, life hacks, is to know that there is a God and that He speaks, that we can hear His voice, that we can discern His voice, that we can know His will for her life, our life. And as Allison mentioned in the worship time there, that we can be still and wait on Him, and we can hear His still, small voice that He speaks to us. And when He speaks to us, what we hear initially is He invites us into a relationship. He initiates a conversation with us. And so today is kind of almost part two of the reality that God speaks, and it is the second part of that, and it is that God listens. He's got ears. He can hear us. He can hear what we're saying, and we can be involved in a relationship with Him in an ongoing conversation. And our response to what He is speaking and what He has spoken to us is what we call prayer. And so our life hack today is essentially how to pray, how to be a praying person, how to be a person of prayer, how to be a church of prayer. And so I want us to consider the questions here this morning and hopefully answer them well. How does prayer work? How do we pray? And I think in order for us to understand that, we first have to ask and answer the question, why do we pray? Why did God invent us that way? Well, it's because God has spoken, and prayer is a response. To be a person of prayer is to be a human. To be human is to pray. Because our very purpose in life is to relate with Him. And obvious, as we know from our human interactions, that to relate with someone is to have an ongoing conversation, a two-way street of communication. So to be human is to relate with God and with one another. To be human is also to rule, to speak His words, to be His representatives on this planet, and to speak His truth, to speak His goodness, to speak His will and His way into existence. That's part of it as well. And we also get the rest part, but we're not going to focus on that today, but obviously that's incorporated even in our conversations and our resting with Him as well. Now, out of our relationship or our relating and of our hearing and talking back and forth with God, we find in this conversation also comes this aspect of ruling. It is a walking out and a talking out of what He has spoken to us or what He has asked us to do. And as we walk out His will and this relationship with Him in this world, we begin to see things. We see things with our natural eyes, that are natural eyesight that are good or that is bad. We see things with our spiritual eyesight, things that are good, things that are bad. And now as His children, relating and talking and conversing with Him, we begin to hear Him and see in Him not only the relationship that we're called to walk out, but also our rulership that we are called to walk out. And we see that we live in a broken world, a world that isn't as it should. We see the goodness of God, and we see humanity and the way that the world is working right now, and things fall short of what they should be. And in our ongoing relationship and conversation with God, we talk to Him and we say, this isn't right. You know, and we begin to say, Lord, am I the one to fix this? There's a problem here. Am I the one that is to speak truth into the situation that is based on lies? What would You have me do, Lord? What would You have me say? I mean, this process of conversing and relating with God and relating with Him, we begin to walk out our second aspect of our purpose on this planet, and that is our rulership. And we begin to invite and speak His will into existence, into any given situation. And we begin to see our place on this planet a little more clearly. That we aren't just employees at His bidding, doing, you know, God's lazy and He just expects us to do his work, His dirty work down here on earth. We begin to see in conversing with Him that He's involving and inviting us into a partnership of an amazing enterprise. that we as humans, as men and women, we are shareholders in an enterprise called the family of God, called the kingdom of God, that we have been adopted into his family and now are integral members of a family business. That's our call. That's our place. It comes out of our conversation and our relating with him and seeing who he is and who we are in light of that. And in that process of relating with God and seeing that we are now co-laborers with Christ, we are now shareholders, we're profit sharers in the kingdom of God, we begin to see prayer a little bit differently. We begin to see prayer more like that of a boardroom, where we meet to hear and discuss our ideas with our dad, who also happens to be the CEO of the universe. And we begin to talk about things and say, you know what, on the factory floor over here or on this street over here, things aren't good. We need to see this fixed. And we have a meeting with God. It's called prayer. And you might want to use the analogy of a boardroom, but we talk to him. And we converse back and forth. We hear what he has to say, and we get the memo for the day or his advice on how to handle a certain situation. And we relay what he has spoken to us to our circumstances, or he gives us something to a practical way to be able to fix a problem or to engage a situation, to repair a broken relationship. And we, in that boardroom of prayer, we receive that, we hear that, and then we go and walk it out. Prayer is the boardroom where we meet to hear and discuss our ideas, God's ideas, with our dad, the CEO of heaven, of the universe. It's the safety meeting. If you're familiar with construction job sites, they have a safety meeting before they begin the day to get their head screwed on straight so they don't get an injury out there. It's a safety meeting or the debrief at the beginning or the end or the middle of the day, whatever is needed for that project or for that that assignment that has been given. It's the call on the cell phone to the boss when we're in over our head. Or maybe we just want to call him and say, you know what? I had the greatest day ever today. Thank you for this assignment that you have given to me. It's also the pillow talk. You know, pillow talk at night? It's the pillow talk at night as we lay our head on our pillow and we begin to vent or rant. You know, this person's driving me nuts. Oh, I had the worst day ever, Lord. It's also the time to glow, to praise him as well and say, you know what, Lord? Today was an amazing day. You did this, you did this, you spoke this, I trusted you, I stepped out. I don't know how it's going to end up, but I just thank you. It's pillow talk. It's a call on the phone. It's the safety meeting. It's the boardroom. If you want to improve in your prayer life, read the Psalms. Psalms are a beautiful, unique book given to us, a collection of writings that give a language and even permission in how we are to pray. It teaches us how to pray. You see, in the Psalms, there's room for everything from sheer ecstasy and delight in the goodness of God to the deep, dark depths of despair, even room for hate. In prayer, you read the Psalms and you see David wrestling with his hate for his enemies. There's room to be vulnerable, to be real, to bring the full spectrum of human emotion into discussion, into prayer, into relationship with God. Prayer gives us, our Psalms gives us the permission to be real with God and to relate with him on a vulnerable, real, and intimate level. Read the Gospels. The Gospels will inform you, will show you how Jesus prayed, how he related to his heavenly Father, how he spoke to the brokenness in our world, and how he ruled and related on this planet. Read the book of Acts. You see how the first disciples, how the apostles related and ruled on this earth as it relates to the gift of prayer, the gift of ongoing conversation and of speaking God's will into existence on this planet. And if you really want to challenge, read Revelation. A little bit hard to read at first, but you begin to be inspired and informed and encouraged at the role of prayer in the life and the mission of God for this church, for your life. See, prayer is so much more than sending up a wish or a hope up to the big guy upstairs. Prayer is the stuff of our relationship with God. It is a reflection of our dependence on Him and a reflection of our desire to do this life with Him. And it reveals, our prayer life reveals how we see His place and our place on this planet. We pray because we're human, because we know God, because we know that we're His kids and we're part of His family business, whose mandate, whose mission is bringing peace on earth. So how on earth does one pray? Well, Jesus told us how to pray in Matthew 6, so you can open your Bibles there. The first part of our passage, Jesus is going to teach us how not to pray, what prayer isn't. And in the second part, he teaches us what prayer is, how to pray. So let's read there, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. It says this, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" There are a number of shocking, beautiful truths about what Jesus just gave as instructions to disciples on how to pray. He told us that prayer is not religious. It's not a religious activity in the sense that it's mechanical or formulaic. It's not a tool to prop ourselves up that we might get closer to heaven, that He might hear us, or that people to be used for our own selfish means, that people might be impressed by our prayers. It's not a way as well to impress God. It's not a formula or a code. There aren't certain phrases or methods of prayer that make our prayers more effective. It's not learning how to say a certain spell. And prayer is also not found in our volume. As though God is hard of hearing. Or like He's the guy with the t-shirt cannon. You know when you go to the stadiums and there's, you know, a sports event or whatever and they want to give out team t-shirts and there's 30,000 people there so they can't just, you know, let Jimmy throw it with his hand. They got to fire up a pneumatic cannon to fire it up into the upper section. And what do you do when you're in the stadium? You're, "Hey, over here!" And you're waving loudly so that the guy with the t-shirt cannon can see you, adjust his cannon, and shoot the t-shirt towards you. What Jesus is saying is prayer isn't like that. It's not some big dramatic performance to try and get His attention in the hopes that He'll shoot an answer prayer over to you. It's not like that. What Jesus is saying here is that prayer is the way and the product of a personal relationship. It's the stuff of a personal relationship. It leads us into a personal relationship with God, and as a byproduct of that, it leads us into a developing more and more of a relationship with Him. And prayer is also an act of ruling. Those are the two main things that Jesus is saying here as it relates to what prayer is and how to pray. It's a way and a product of a relationship, and it is an act of ruling. We don't have time this morning to pick apart this passage, let alone consider all of the sections of Scripture that shed light on prayer. Volumes have been written on the subject of prayer, and it is a worthwhile study. But for our purposes here today, I want to help you see how to pray, what it is and how to do it. Because we can often fall into the trap where we think that people that pray loudly or publicly or use big words or fancy phrases are great men and women of prayer. And while public and well-worded prayers aren't forbidden in Scripture, if that's all they are, then it's wasting our breath. And what we read about in the rest of Scripture as it relates is it's further than that. It's even evil if it's done publicly as a way to mask our sin or serve as a substitute for a genuine relationship with Him. True prayer is just as, even more meaningful when done in secret, because when it's done in secret, it lends itself to being a true act of faith and of intimacy with Jesus. True prayer is the conversation that takes place inside of a right relationship with God, a relationship that you've been adopted into, that you've entered into through faith in the saving grace of Jesus, that Jesus made a way to be adopted into the family of God, reuniting you with your Heavenly Father. The conversation can now take place because of what Jesus has done, and now the estranged relationship, the turned back, the prodigal kids that we were, we, by the grace of Jesus, are able to come back into relationship, into conversation, and we can talk with our Father in heaven. It doesn't take much imagination to kind of get that analogy, to consider all of the estranged father-son, father-daughter relationships that exist on this planet. And how beautiful it is, how good it is when two people that had their differences all of a sudden are able to forgive and be reunited and entered into a new, redeemed relationship together. Prayer is the conversation that takes place inside of a right relationship with God. And so prayer becomes the evidence of the access that we have by faith. That you have been welcomed home and you are in a right relationship with God. If you're praying and conversing with God, it's evidence of your faith. You're His son, you're His daughter, and you bring both the good and the bad of life into your relationship with Him, and He talks to you, and you talk to Him, and you talk to others as His ambassador. Prayer is ultimately a posture of heart, or at least begins and is sustained by a true posture of heart before Him, a posture that has a careful balance of both intimacy and reverence. And we see that in Jesus' words here. One of the things why this prayer is so shocking, Jesus' model prayer for us is so shocking, is because He begins it off by calling God Father, that we can approach Him on a term or a basis of intimacy, of close relationship. And there's also a reverence, a respect that we are instructed to have in Scripture for our fathers. There's this hallowed aspect as well, this reverence. There's this proper tension that takes place in the posture of our heart or the way in which we approach God. There is also in His prayer a letting go of selfish and sinful agendas. It's Your will be done, Lord. Your kingdom come, not my own kingdom, not my own will. And in that, we see that prayer involves a correction or a clarification of our motives, of our vision, of what our place is on this planet and what we're to be working towards, what we're to be praying for. There's also an acknowledgement that He is the source. He's the source of our existence. He sustains us. He's the source of our holiness. That by our confession and repentance, we receive His mercy. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts. And there's also in prayer an alignment to congruence with His character and with an actual tangible walking out of prayer. And that is found in the owning of the responsibility of our lives to live in line with Him, to not only just pray, but to live that prayer out. And it's expressed in this idea of forgiving others. Christ has forgiven us. It's evidence that prayer is not just words, but it's action. Prayer is a lifestyle of living out His kingdom. It's not just some little religious activity we do before a meal or at church on Sunday. It is an ongoing conversation, an ongoing way of life. And it's why Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. He doesn't say go and live in a monastery and subscribe to the monastic life of just, you know, 24/7 every day that he gives you on your knees in prayer. That's not what he's meaning when he says pray without ceasing. He's saying live a life of prayer. Never stop communing with God. Never stop hearing and talking to him and living out what he has for us to do. It doesn't mean just be in your prayer closet the whole time or prayer is done over here and then we go on and we do our own busy work and our own life over here. You can't separate or divide the two. It's who we are in a relationship with him. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. It's a continual connection with God and a constant walking out of his will in whatever circumstance. And it's because that's what prayer is that Jesus then closes up his prayer with this other reality, because we're prone to relapse. We're prone to forget. We're prone to be like the dog with the squirrel that gets easily distracted. Because we're prone to all these things, he includes in this model prayer, there's an acknowledgement for us to call on him for his constant help, to get us focused, to lead us in the righteous way, to protect us from evil. And by all of this, Jesus is showing us that prayer isn't religious motion. It is a way of life that is the product of us placing our life in his hands and trusting in him and walking with him. It's more about an alignment of heart than it is a well-constructed sentence or even a desperation for him to move. And it's out of that relationship that we see and that we find the second aspect of prayer, and that is the aspect or the act of ruling. That as a result of our prayers, we can see people come to faith in Christ. Salvations. As a result of our prayers, we can see miracles. We can see justice come on the planet. We can see life. We can see that we were created to rule over the earth as God's image bearers, to build a magnificent world with peace, health, and prosperity, to take back the dominion that evil has over our neighbors and over our world, and see our world come to faith in Christ and with it be free from the bondage of sin and death and sickness and all that ensues. It's why our relationship with God precedes the effectiveness of prayer. To think that we would know, like think about what's on the line, salvations. Think about what's on the line, healing. Think about what's on the line, estranged family members, broken families, broken neighborhoods. Think about what's on the line. In light of that, to think that we might know what to pray, how to pray, when to pray apart from an intimate connection with God is absurd. To think that we could speak on his behalf, but we don't know him personally, intimately, is absurd. To think as well that we can walk in intimacy with God while our back is turned and engaged in things that distance us from him is even more absurd. Because we read in Scripture that God doesn't always listen, that God doesn't always hear our prayers. As one preacher put it, he kind of summarized some of the common things. He wrote, God doesn't listen to our prayers when we doubt him. Read about that in James 1. Or you can flip over to James chapter 4. He doesn't hear us when we ask with wrong motives. He doesn't listen. You can read in 1 Peter 3, he doesn't hear our prayers when we dishonor our spouse or neglect our call to our spouse. You can read in Isaiah 58 that if we don't care for the poor, for the widow, it doesn't matter how much we fast or pray, he doesn't hear us. And it's why it's written in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. True prayer is the way to and the product of a heart that is one with His. And from that place unfolds not only personal salvation and relationship, but a perspective of whose we are and why we're here. And Jesus' model prayer speaks not only to the proper posture and relationship we are to have, but then sets us up to rule the earth out of that relationship. You know the second reason why Jesus' model prayer is so shocking? It's not because He invites us into an intimate relationship and ongoing conversation with our dad in heaven. That's the first reason. But the second reason is actually because of the boldness of this prayer. The confidence and the audacity and the assertion that Jesus expects of His disciples to actually take Him at His word, that you aren't just a slave or a beggar, but you are a son, you are a daughter of God, and you are a co-laborer of Christ to bring heaven on earth, to walk in your rightful place as a son or a daughter, and to speak heaven into existence on earth. You can't really get that sometimes from the English translation, but it's there. The every verb that's in that prayer is an imperative. It's a command. And to the first century Jew, they would have considered that blasphemous, disrespectful. The audacity of Jesus to teach His disciples to pray with that kind of confidence, that kind of boldness, was unheard of. Jesus is saying, don't pray like that of a slave or a beggar that comes before a fickle or moody king. You know, I did all of these good things today, Lord, so, you know, when you've got a moment, can you help me out here with this cold I have? Just this one little thing? Prayer isn't like that because it's not who God is. And it's not, when we walk on a relationship with Him, we discover that. We see that. That's not how He asks us to interact with Him, how to relate with Him, how to walk this life out. That's not who we are and who He is. And Jesus is saying, don't pray like that of a slave or a beggar. Pray like that of a son or a daughter. Not only over your own life, but in the lives of and situations of others. Prayer is not just a way to facilitate a relationship, but through that relationship, it informs us and assures us that we can take our rightful place as sons and daughters of the King, and we are here to do His business. Look at how Paul prayed over the lame beggar in Acts 3. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Think of the boldness of that, the courage of that, the faith and the intimacy and the trust that he had in God. You can read in Acts 16, Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of here, come out of her. And it came out that very hour. And just in case, in those two examples, you think, oh, I got to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. If I don't say that phrase, it's not going to happen. I've got to pray in the name of Jesus. People tried that. We read about that kind of formulaic kind of understanding of prayer and effective prayer, and it doesn't work. It's written in Scripture. Acts 19, verses 11 through 16 says this, And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. That's the work that we're called to. God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So that even handkerchiefs and or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, what a fun bunch those guys must have been, undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus. So they say, oh, they're praying in the name of Jesus. If we just use his name, then we'll have that same kind of power, that same kind of authority. To invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you, by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, it says. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them. Kung Fu style here, okay? Leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They got beat up by the demonic spirit dwelling within this man because they had no authority, even when they used the name of Jesus in that situation. Prayer is not a formula. It's not a tone. It's not a willingness to be bold and to believe for great, crazy things. I'm going to bless this handkerchief so it can go around the world and heal people. There's people that just think because they're willing to do crazy things that it's going to happen. It's not like that. It's prayer is born, effective prayer is born out of an intimate and healthy relationship with Jesus. James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your own passions. Perhaps the most accurate, simple understanding of the practice of prayer was said by Jesus, recorded in John 15:7. If you abide in me, he says, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you want to understand this whole sermon, this whole concept of prayer in a nutshell, it is that. If you abide in me, Jesus says, if you hide your life and connect your life in me, and my words abide in you, meaning that you are learning and growing in his will and his way for your life as a son or daughter of his, ask whatever you wish because now your heart is aligned and you're in tune with the Spirit and his will and his mission of heaven coming on earth. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you're looking this morning for some magic words or shortcuts to effective prayer, there aren't any. It is born on the altar of our confession and repentance. It is nourished in a heart that trusts in Him. It is developed on hours on our knees in the quiet hours of the morning. And it is seen in public ways through the slaying of our ego as God calls us to do either the mundane or the crazy in His will, in His name, and see heaven come through our faith, through our prayers, through our relationship with Him. It is my hope this morning that we as Parksiders would become a church of prayer, people of prayer. Not people that just do lots of nice little neat prayers before meals and before devotions and things like that, or have a really nice prayer list that we pray through. I hope what you're hearing this morning is what true prayer looks like. A life of authentic, vulnerable, wholehearted intimacy with Jesus. And in that relationship, we begin to know Him, we begin to hear Him better. We begin to receive the courage, the confidence, the assurance, the empowerment to actually speak His words, His authority, and His timing, in His way, and see His will be done through our lives. My hope and my prayer is for that, for us as a church, that this would be more than just an, oh, that was nice, Clint. That was really good. You know, I need to pray a little bit more. You know, I kind of let that part of my faith slide. You know, as a result of this message, Clint, I think I might be a little more enthusiastic in my prayer life. That's not my hope. My hope and my prayer is that we are so burdened, so moved, so excited in our hearts that this afternoon, tomorrow morning before work, we get up early just to spend time with Jesus, to hear Him, to open His Word, to consider, to be still and quiet and consider what He has for us, what He wants to say to us, what He wants to give to us, our assignment, our memos, our frustrations, to bring it before Him and to really live this life with Him, for Him, that we might see His kingdom come. His will be done. Our relationships, our homes, our church, our city need people of prayer. Need people who rise to the call and the invitation to relate with him on that kind of a level, that kind of intimacy, who have spent so much time with him that people, when they talk and when you talk and when you pray, not only do things happen in terms of answered prayer, effective prayer, but like the disciples, like the outsiders that looked on the disciples and they said, I think these guys have been with Jesus because of what they said and how they said it and because of what they did, the courage that they had, uneducated men and women doing incredible things, turning the world upside down. Incredible. Same access, the same assurance is given to us today. I want us to be a people of prayer. People that are genuine in relationship with him. The people that see and rise to our place as sons and daughters, as rulers of earth. See more of heaven come in our city, in our home. Let's pray. The music team can come up, back up. Lord, the work that you have for us to do, the revelation that you have for us to understand and receive here this morning and in this season is so much more than just words. It's not nothing short of words, but it requires tangible action. And Lord, I pray that we would be ignited and inspired in our hearts here today to rise and to respond to the call and the opportunity, to the access that you have given to us. That we would respond in very demonstrable ways. There be men and women in this room that maybe they typically hit the snooze button, rush out to work, rush out to the business of the day, that we'd be so moved by your spirit and by the beauty and the opportunity and the call that is on our lives as your creation, as your men and women, as your sons and daughters, that it would lead us to those places of intimacy with you, of letting go of the things that ensnare and hold us and trip us up, confessing and repenting and turning from that way of life and entering into a sincere and pure, active and growing relationship with you. That we'd be the kind of people that spent so much time with you, that our spouse, that our kids, that our family and friends and coworkers would say, hey, something's really different about you lately. You, who have you just been spending time with? And that out of that would become the prayer warriors, the prayer people that you have created us to be. Be men and women that are eager to pray, eager to see your will come, to know how to pray and when to pray, where to pray. Lord, we look to you to lead and guide us. Your word is clear. Help us to respond now. Amen.